Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to see you here. A lot of people still traveling today. People seeing family. We pray for their safety as they travel back home. But Christmas has passed. Or not Christmas. Thanksgiving has passed. Getting ahead of myself. Black Friday has passed. And Christmas is coming once again. As we've mentioned several times in the service already, the first week of Advent is all about hope. And Christmas is a season of great hope. We hope for the coming of the baby Jesus. We hope for the coming of Christ back to our world to make everything new. It's a time of great hope, but I can't help but think of some of the hopes that I had growing up around Christmas time. I don't know about you when you were younger, but my hopes were more centered among some of the material things in life, I suppose. I hoped for a big Christmas tree. I wanted the biggest one in the house. I was so disappointed when it didn't hit the ceiling. I wanted the biggest Christmas tree. I wanted lots of presents. I wanted candy canes. I wanted to watch all the Christmas specials on television. And I wanted to just hear about the happiness that everybody was having on during Christmas. Just the Christmas spirit, they would call it on TV. And yet, today, as I've had a few years to mature, a lot has changed since then. And Christmas to me now has taken on a completely different meaning. Instead of stuff, you know, the material things, my hope has switched to Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's important that we keep that as the forefront of as our one of our main hopes. Jesus came to a lost world. He brought us the hope of being found in the graces of God. He came to a blind world, a deaf world, and he brought us the hope of a restored spirit so that we could hear his voice and see him once again and be restored into communion with him. And our scripture reading reminds us that we live in a time of darkness and a darkness that is coming. But despite the darkness that is coming, as Christians, we have a hope. We have our hope that Jesus is the light, and he has promised us that when he returns, we will be restored. And truly, this is a season of great hope. But this morning, I want to pose some considerations about our Christian hope. Is our Christian hope like that of a young child, like me as a 15-year-old, I suppose, but that was easily fleeting, that was easily distracted by what was going on in front of us? Are we distracted from our hope each and every day? Does our hope guide us? You know, when I think of distractions, I can't help but think about Doug, the talking dog from the movie Up. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a good movie. You should see it. But every time Doug is trying to do something, he's trying to focus on something, every time he happens to see everything that passes by him, every squirrel, he turns his head and yells, "Squirrel," even if he's in the middle of a sentence. Easily distracted. And I gotta ask, are we easily distracted in our world today? Are we focused on that firm foundation in Jesus Christ? You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the Christ that one already laid, which is in Jesus Christ." We need a firm foundation in order to follow Jesus Christ. And our hope just can't be a casual thought among the thousands that we run into each and every day. But it must be the firm foundation on which we build everything on. In Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24, Paul says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You know, in short, Paul says that the knowledge and the hope that we have in Jesus isn't just a concept. It's not just an idea, a fact that we know and take comfort in. Our hope in Jesus biblically leads us to action. When we trust in the hope that we have in Jesus, we take action. We put our old selves aside and we take on a new self. We take on the image of Jesus Christ. Now, why would I be talking about this during an Advent message of hope? Well, because Christian hope is something that I've noticed today doesn't carry on to many in the world around us. I get a lot of critique when talking to non-Christians about Christian hope. And Christian hope, I want to assure you, it's not just merely wishful thinking that we're clutching on to desperately. Christian hope is described biblically as a sure expectation that will take hold of us. It will possess us. And biblical hope is that confident expectation that's based on the solid certainty that we are saved in Jesus Christ. We are sure of God's promises, and therefore we will lead a different life. You know, as a Christian, being taken up by the hope of Jesus brings and should bring an expression of joy that gives real meaning to our hope right now, not just in the future, but right now as well. This is important to me personally, because I know Christian hope looks to Jesus as the focus of our message, and I know that most of us in church are familiar with that. We're familiar with the baby Jesus and the second coming of Jesus and the promise that Jesus has given to us as Lord and Savior, which just gives us access to heaven. But I want to emphasize, I want to emphasize that this is a great hope. But is it the only hope that we as Christians have to look forward to? I find that people who do not share the same convictions as Christians observe that our hope, Christian hope, it seems very much to believing in a fairy tale or living in a fantasy world. And I've heard people tell me this. I've heard it referring to the past as pie in the sky theology, because it seems like Christians are chasing after some sort of reward that's outside of reality, and they are completely out of touch with the world around them. I think in some aspects that's a fair observation to make of Christians, because if all people are seeing is the hope that we have, that we're looking forward to, and that's all we share with our neighbors, that God is just some far-off concept and some place where we can find an eternal resting place, then it really seems like it is more of a far-off concept. It's not a very personal concept, but God is far away. And in this increasingly skeptical world, people want to know not just what's to come in the future. People seem to not want a promise of what's to come 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. A lot of people seem to want to know what God can do for them right now. And as I become more sure that our neighbors and people outside the church think that we don't really have an answer for that, that Jesus is our only hope, that, and he's far off in the future, and right now all we're doing is enduring the misery and the discontentment, and we're just thinking that someday it'll be better. But until then, just turn your frown upside down and get along with the program. Our neighbors, the people around us, the people in the world, see our hope in Jesus as irrelevant to the way that we live life now. Irrelevant to some of the struggles and the challenges that they face in everyday life. You know, a person seeking to fill a void deep inside of their heart isn't always looking for the assurance that when they die, that they will get a free pass into heaven. They want fulfillment now. And I think we've all been there at some point when the hope that we have in heaven isn't helping with the pain that we're having to endure right now. I've been there. Where just nothing seems to help. Once again, it's personal to me. I encountered in college. It was a tough time to be a Christian in college. And I prayed for ways to share my faith, and it didn't come along too often, but it did come along. And there was one time where I encountered a very broken person who had a very difficult past. And it was one of those moments, you know, that God brings into our life that we pray for. And finally, God brought this moment to me. And she came up to me unexpectedly out of the blue, never saw this coming. And she asked me about my faith. And she was nearly in tears as she was asking. And I knew that she was looking for answers. And I was struggling to give her the answer that didn't focus completely on the hope in heaven. That wasn't what she was looking for. And I was deeply troubled because I don't think she found her answer in my promise or in God's promise for that far off salvation. She needed Jesus right then, right now. She needed a personal, loving God. And she needed hope for today. That stuck with me. That was not what I could share. But what I shared with her was what I had always been taught. That's all there is. But that's not all there is. There's good news. Very good news for each and every one of us today. We're looking forward to that eternal hope. We're looking forward to something that's better than what we'll ever have here. But we are not just waiting, full of discontent and in denial of the reality in the world around us. You know, as Christians, Paul describes our hope as an absolute certainty. And as we have absolute certainty in our hope, we receive joy and peace right now. Please listen to that. Eternal life doesn't come after we pass on. For us, as Christians, eternal life has already begun. In Romans 12:12, Paul says that we live joyfully in hope. The Christian life is marked by the peace, joy, and comfort that we have in Jesus right now. And are we able to share with others the joy that God is bringing us right now? As a church, I get so excited. We have so much to offer. We offer things for the poor, for the lonely, for the brokenhearted in this world. But sometimes it seems like church life, the community of believers, that greatest hope that we have to share and offer others right now, the community of Christians coming together, it seems like it's fallen to the wayside over the years. And I find that with the weakening of the spiritual community, spiritual growth has been stunted. And to those who are outside the church looking in, it seems like we have little to offer that bears witness to a life that's been marked and changed by Jesus. You know, I'm so excited as we begin to explore what we do with the results of New Beginnings in a few weeks. But this morning, my Advent sermon on hope, I wanted to change it up a little bit. And I wanted to share some of my personal hopes that I have for our church. And I hope to reemphasize some of the things that the church has to offer for both you, the believers, and for the unbelievers right now. God's not just a far-off hope. God brings us hope right now. The Christian community is still relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. And my hope is that we'll be living in a way that glorifies God. So I got three hopes to share. And I know that we all have a limited attention span, so I'm going to keep them very short, keep them very simple. And they all start with S's, so if that helps you remember, I hope it does. But my three hopes for the church are that we can commit to, first, service; second, study; and third, safety. Let me go into detail. My first hope is for service. You know, James 2:17 reminds us that faith by itself, not accompanied by action, is dead. And I hope that the church is a place where we can all come and we can find a place to serve together faithfully. Service is an essential expression of our faith. And if we don't provide ample opportunities for people to serve in the community of believers, then in essence, we're kind of leaving people off on their own to struggle to find time and places to serve. Serving in community is so beneficial. We're talking about it in adult ed this morning, but you learn so much more when you are serving alongside people with different experiences, different points of view. It's a blessing to be able to serve together. A member in our church, I didn't ask if I could share it, so I'm just going to say a member in our church, said that they went to a church where service in the church was not optional. When they became a member, they had to have a place where they served actively within the church. And they kept track of it somehow. They took this very seriously. Service was an expression of your faith. And you had to serve. People should be encouraged to join the community of believers and serve alongside fellow Christians, because when we do, we develop the relationships and we grow stronger as a community. That's my first hope for the church. Second hope is for study, for learning. I hope the church becomes a place for learning. Not just for Bible history and things that will help us to win a game of Bible trivia, but an education that addresses many different areas of life, that will help us to have relevant expressions of our faith. I hope for studies on spiritual disciplines, spiritual acts of service, how to develop your character, and even places for people to ask the tough questions that we face in the world today. Good study, in my mind, always leads to change. It leads to considering different perspectives. Individual study is great, and if you're doing that, I bless you. But the sharpening of one's faith in the Bible, God says that it comes through community. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We need to be in community as we study, because you can't have all the insights when you do it on your own. My second hope for this church in this upcoming year is for God to open up new venues for study. And my last hope is for safety. The church should be a place, a safe place, for everybody who walks through these doors. And it should be a safe, welcoming committee, a community for all those who know God. And I think that, and I pray that we as a church will proactively chase and pursue making our church family, our church community, a safe place. Because if our church is not a safe place, then the foundation for our very community is weak. A safe church is a church that welcomes all who step in these doors to welcome Jesus, to welcome all those who are seeking Jesus. That doesn't mean that we have to leap on each and every person who walks in this door and make them feel uncomfortable. We shouldn't overwhelm those who come into the church, but we should seek to be a community that helps people feel as welcome guests, even if nobody has talked to them yet. The church needs to be safe, because at the very core, Jesus has taught us that we are expected to sharpen one another. We are expected to have a certain level of vulnerability amongst ourselves. And if the church does not feel safe, or it is not safe, then I nor anybody else will speak or confess of the things that they currently struggle with, or where they've stumbled in their Christian walk. If the church is not safe, and those who are struggling with pain and hardships, those who might be sick, sad, depressed, they may not feel comfortable to share these things. They may be reluctant to ask for help or companionship. Safety in church is essential, and I believe that's why Jesus modeled so many ways that we are expected to reconcile with one another. We are taught to forgive again and again when people offend us. Jesus taught that as a community, we're to share that it's okay to mess up. We're all sinners. And it's okay to ask forgiveness. It's okay to not be perfect. It's also why Jesus called us to watch our tongues, to not speak ill of people or to gossip. As a church, we've been called to a high standard of love and to keep each other accountable and to be a community, not that creates distrust, suspicion, or hurt, but to be a community where people can grow as they seek to follow Jesus Christ. And nothing hurts a community faster than ill words, distrust, and not feeling safe. That's my last hope for this church as we go into the new year, that I hope that we can work towards being a safe church, and the church in general, all churches, can be encouraging communities that seek the new life that God has to offer us right now. I wanted to share these hopes because I believe that as a church, our foundation is essential to where we're headed. And I think that if at that time, back in college, if I had that community, a community of people where I felt safe, where I felt love, where I felt trusted, where I felt like I could grow and be honest, I feel like I wouldn't have had to have the perfect answer for that person who was seeking Jesus. But I may have just been able to bring them to that loving community, and they may have found Jesus through those expressions of love. I pray that we can work towards that. It's my hope, and I hope you can share in that hope as we go on forward. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for your hope of salvation, to the hope that we find in the baby Jesus. I pray that as we remember all these hopes during Advent, God, that we're able to focus on the hope you bring us right now, the joy you bring us in so many ways. Help us to be a church that builds each other up, that is healthy, working as one body in service to your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.